others. They will give us 24,005 minus the deductible of 500 minus the salvage of 3,500, which leaves us $20,595 that they will give to us to keep the truck. The reason we want this truck, we have a Volvo right now that currently needs about $3,000 to $3,500 worth of fan clutch, fan blade, and radiator because we had a catastrophic failure of the fan clutch and blade system, which took out all of those components. This particular truck that was totaled out also has a brand new transmission in it that was rebuilt about 6 months ago. This particular truck also has what we term as a rock bed, of which some of our weaker trucks that do not have rock beds are in need of repair or could be replaced. So the idea is to use this truck as a salvage truck for spare parts for the other two Volvos that are currently in.
And the insurance is offering us 14 to 16?
Dixie got to me late last night. That number, we thought they'd take about 8 off. They're actually offering us $20,595 for it versus 14 or 16 that I mentioned to you yesterday.
So what direction are you asking for?
I'm asking to allow us to keep this truck, receive payment of $20,595, and use the parts off of this truck that there's a lot of valuable parts on it. And don't replace it.
I'm fine with that.
And how many miles was on it again?
I don't know the exact number of the miles. My guess would be between 200,000 and 300,000 because of its age.
If we didn't have the other trucks that identically matched it, I wouldn't be for it at all, but we've got
two others.
Come in, folks.
I can take that as a yes.
Yeah.
I feel kind of rushed about the decision, but if that's your recommendation, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sorry to put you off again on the other stuff.
We'll
do it later.
We'll make it.
That brings up the other question that I'd like to. Did you guys definitely want to sit in on the SIR board meeting next week, or would you like to review the agenda and possibly take Frank for that? We put him off for 2 weeks for an hour apiece, and take an hour of that time before and
for the SIR board meeting. You mean?
Or during a SIR board. It's a pre-meeting.
Frank before the SIR board, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, before a pre-meeting or whatever, or during the discussion, or be here for the pre-meeting and then take him.
Show and work session with Bob and Nikki. And
we're booked through 11:30. I mean, we could just depends. I mean, we had talked about getting in front of the sewer board, too, though. And talking about
Well, I just brought it up as a recommendation. I didn't know.
What I think I hear you saying, we could probably schedule an hour in there.
That's what I'd like to do because we put for a couple of weeks here, we've cut him short, and I'd like to get that part of it done. We're
going to do it
see if we can't work it in.
At 1 o'clock? What are you saying? Don't do the pre-meeting?
We either do the pre-meeting or do the regular meeting, and one of the two, because the main discussion, we get the feed of what's going to go on.
What do you guys prefer?
I'll leave that up to Chuck.
Just ask the girls to adjust things around a little bit in the morning. And
which day are we talking about?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay.
Yeah.
And find an hour there for Frank.
In the morning?
Sometime.
Okay.
We got purchasing generally. That goes pretty quick. I bet we can jockey stuff around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brush Bob through.
I'll send a note to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
As I'm leaving the room, I'd like to mention that Lynette and I spent a lot of time working on a personnel procedures manual.
Yeah?
And I appreciated all that work. We did put some effort into it. I don't believe it's been adopted yet.
Okay.
Thanks.
That was a nice reminder. Would you prop our door open for us, Frank?
I will
do so. Lynette, Tim, you want to come over here? Is this executive or regular?
This is regular.
Okay. If you would, come over here to the table and we'll have you on the microphone.
Okay.
another subject matter. Joan, I think, is supposed to come down regarding the IDA, which is a later issue.
Yes. Right, 10 o'clock.
So I just wanted to clarify that because Joan went on back upstairs. Thanks for your guys' time again today. We just wanted to cover some things with you guys and thought it would be just a good opportunity to do it by getting on the docket and setting up to come in. I first of all wanted to present to you copies of your workers' comp renewal, which is coming up on April 1st with Missouri Rural Services. Just for the record, hey, Rick. Yeah, I can get you one. We have already talked with the auditor's office some time back when there was a audit being processed, which is, you know, happens on an annual basis with your workers' comp. We had an increase on the audit. We caught the current year up to that so that we knew, we could tell budgeting was also headed towards, you know, trying to stay flat. So we wanted to make sure that our audits didn't come in the future with an increase. So what I'm happy to tell you is in addition to that, the carrier has already given us indications of the renewal, and the renewal is going to stay flat. So the other thing is you guys are now starting to get into dividends. I didn't bring that. I thought I had it, but you guys actually have a dividend of only, it's only $1,200 being applied right now. But it's because you're into your third year of being in this program. They usually don't start paying dividends till the third year, and as the claims close out, you'll be getting more. Right now, I believe the dividend fund I actually saw on that, though, was in excess of $50,000. So then we're starting to talk, you know, some viable options there.
So the dividend actually gets paid to us back on an annual basis?
Yes.
It didn't get applied to keep the rates flat, did it?
No, no. This is, without that, the rates are flat.
Did our experience mod change at all?
The mod is also flat. It was at a 1.07, hung at 107. Again, when we started this program, we were at, I want to say, a 1.24 on the experience mod or somewhere in that area. And since that time, it has been going the right way. We want to get below 1.00 on that experience mod as opposed to the 1.07, but we are trending the right way.
So on our experience mod, we should have stayed flat anyway. Our experience hasn't hurt anything.
Correct. So everything's going the right way is what I'm trying to tell you.
Just Dan, just want to bring it over there.
Can I send it down? I have seven phone calls.
Sure.
Same number, and it's a home number. Ooh. And I need to
go
check to see what this is. I'll be right back.
Tim, go back for me a little bit. Didn't keep up with you. You mentioned increase on the audit, one of your first comments. Is that what did that
What happens what that is every year after the policy renews, they come back and want to know your payrolls by class for the year that you've just finished up with.
Right.
And in the year of 08 to 09, there was an increase in the wages within the county, so right. You picked up an additional cost of around 5%, I think, was the number. So when Rick's office called me, what we did was we went over that, and we went ahead and increased the current year's policy because we didn't want to see another additional amount, and we knew it wouldn't be going backwards usually. It'd be staying at least that. So we went ahead and upped the current year of the 09 to 10, 2010 year, and got it updated. And now that you guys have sat at a relatively flat rate for the payroll going into 2010, we've used those same numbers. So there shouldn't be another audit or increase or anything at the end of the 2010 to 2011 year.
Just we always estimate wages.
I think you're gonna help me, so go ahead, please.
That's the way workman comp works. We estimate wages for the year, and then at the end of the year they say, well, what did you really pay out?
Right.
And we had paid out about 5% more or something like that than what we normally had. Now that may go down, you know, if we do what we've really.
But 09's wages was about 5% more than 08's wages. Uh-huh. That's what you're saying. Uh-huh. Okay. And that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah,
but
we're
I
just being
to be
proactive
sure
so you guys don't under budget or anything else with it. We're just
right.
trying to be proactive in how we take care of it.
Right. So, as you said, at the end of the year, if you your estimate was high, your cost is...
We're getting paid next year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions regarding that?
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess we can wait till Danny gets back, or if you guys want to vote on that sometime regarding that.
It's the renewal?
Yeah, it's the renewal.
I mean, you want to motion table and then motion it, or just give us a second here. We'll make a motion when he's here. I know he wants to vote on it, so.
How are we posted on this, you know?
General session for insurance and HR.
I think it would be better to post it. And,
I think it is
and
posted, though. Let me look here.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up I thought it was.
HR and insurance update.
Insurance update isn't.
Not good enough?
If you're going to vote on a contract, I'd prefer that you have approval of a new contract for workers' comp or something
we'll post
to that effect.
Do a technical vote tomorrow. Let me tell me to do that right now.
Okay.
All right.
Next.
The next thing is I sent an email out to you guys prior to the meeting, just trying to get you some information in front of you before we got to this meeting and cover this real quickly. But two things that we've added with the agency that are a benefit to the county. These are no additional charges. I just need approval of the commission that they would like to move forward on these, and these will be implemented. In a nutshell, basically, the attorney professional or the attorneys out there have become so narrowed down on their focus or their niches that there are actually workers' comp attorneys that work only for the employer on litigation. We actually have the hearing judge for workers' comp in our area is based out of Springfield. And what we've been able to do is find better representation by having a local specified attorney for it. This is no different than what you've been getting, except the carrier hasn't been directed by you guys that you might want to have a local representation.
Part of that's my fault.
Instead of who they pick.
With One Beacon, who you brought to us, I said, well, we've been using Pat Keck in the past. We need to use her. Why are you going to bring in a St. Louis attorney? And they allowed us to have Pat Keck because they looked at her and said she's a good attorney and we'll use her. And in workers' comp, if we're bringing somebody down from St. Louis, they're probably paying us a Springfield firm to appear for them half the time. So why not have the Springfield firm represent us? And they'll probably know the judge, and what he likes better than a St. Louis firm or something. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. And so I just have brought that to you guys for acceptance on that, and if so, then I've actually already got a meeting set up with Missouri Rural Services, your work comp carrier, who has used this firm also. It's Harmison Pierman out of Springfield, and Jerry Harmison is the main attorney there for them.
You lost me a little bit, if I could. This would be a local attorney. It wouldn't be a St. Louis attorney, Bob.
More local. It would be a Springfield attorney. Let me be kind of colloquial or pro the area. We have some attorneys down here just as good as those ones up in St. Louis and Kansas City, and Springfield certainly has some good workers' comp attorneys. And why would your company want to pay for the travel time to have them travel all the way down here?
Right.
And it makes a lot of sense to have a good Springfield workers' comp firm represent you rather than bring in some firm from Kansas City or St. Louis.
So, yeah, okay.
You're not losing a thing, and the company's winning because they don't have to pay travel time and other things. You get, a guy that knows what the judge likes or what kind of evidence he wants. I mean, it's a win situation for us. It's a win situation for the insurance company, which may save us on our rates. It may not. I don't know.
Gotcha. Sounds good.
Okay. Second thing is the disaster planning. We've actually found a service that would help you guys, I believe, by the fact that they will come in, review your building sites for electrical shutoff, water shutoff, gas shutoff, identify them on maps, and present a disaster plan that could be kept with Dixie or whomever's offices. We can have multiples set up for any of the buildings that you guys have. So in the event that there's either a fire, water damage, whatever it may be, we can get to it as efficiently as possible.
and this doesn't cost you guys anything to have this drawn up by this firm.
Okay. Sounds like a smart move to me.
Yeah.
Good for that.
Okay. If there's anything else then on the work comp, we can come back to it. But what I'd like to move on to now is regarding Lynette. And we had a meeting here 27th of January. And Lynette, or Chuck, had actually been at that in attendance at that meeting and asked if we would come back with a summary to that meeting so we could discuss. And I believe this is what you're needing now.
That's all right.
But this is a summation that Lynette had written to us of that, and I believe I can just let her handle it from there.
Well, basically what came out of the meeting on the 27th is that there is a need for a uniform policy manual, you know, throughout the county. And at one time, I think there was a little confusion. At one time, we thought that that policy manual was approved and ready to be dispersed and throughout all the departments, and it kind of stemmed back to October of 2008. So I don't know what happened, if there was just miscommunication or just a little disjointed. So, you know, we're here today just to kind of propose and move forward. I know that there's been some activity. We've had some meetings with Frank's department, because he's actually, after that was approved, had some recommendations, and there's been some correspondence going back and forth just for added, you know, revisions to the policy manual. So really that's what we're here to propose to move forward, and I think it's going to be really good for the county, and a lot of the elected officials are really wanting this and pro for this. So mm-hmm. That would be for the policy manual.
Okay, we did that. The October 08 date is when you all first came on as our carrier on work comp.
No, actually, that was about a year to. That was about a year after October 2007 is when we started dealing with you guys. And the thing is, Chuck, what happened there is that was right at a transition time, I think, for the county commission and some of the employees and people taking notes there. And for some reason, it seemed like we had literally six meetings with you guys going over this, and it was approved and ratified. But Jim had come to us of recent and asked us about the employee manual as well. And it turns out, in going back through the information, no one can find in the minutes where it was ratified. So what we need to do is get it done and move on with it, is all we're suggesting.
Do we have that? Who has a copy of that?
Of course I do.
It's outdated now anyway.
It's time for revision, you know, being 2 years later. Not, I'm not talking a complete overhaul, but my recommendation would be to have some work done on it and then disperse it to maybe some other officials and the departments, respective departments, let them review it, make sure we're not missing anything. There was a lot of discussion on comp time, you know, out of last week's meeting as well. And, you know, so I'm thinking that needs to be worked on too, so it's uniform, you know, and there's not a lot of different practices going on in different areas of the county.
Well, one of the things that came up in that meeting was the issue of break time.
Yes.
And we've got one office that their employees don't get a break time.
Right.
And I'm sure there's probably others that don't get a break time. Mm-hmm. And the question that came to my mind, I don't know if I ought to ask it or not, but I will, is we all, it's kind of, at times it's an awkward situation because you got the auditor, the assessor, the collector, the county commission. They're each one responsible for their office. And the question I had was, does the personnel policy, should it just apply to the county commission and those that are underneath them and offer it to the other offices for them to accept or not to accept?
There's a reason for having a policy that applies. While you cannot control necessarily the employees of another office where you have so many fiefdoms, they have, yes, fiefdoms. to have, you couldn't have that many personnel policies, and you couldn't ensure that they were good policies. To protect yourself and the county to a certain extent, you need to at least have a policy in place. If they don't follow it, at least you've done all that you can do.
Very good. Move on, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and so what we're here qualifying today is, as part of the services with Lynette and our offices, we provide those to you guys. She's already done the employee manual before. All she's going to have to do is update it. Her hours will be billed through us, and we'll handle that for the county as an additional service as we've done in the past. So, again, no cost to the county. We're just trying to do what's prudent.
So who are you going to work with in doing this?
I've been doing some correspondence with Jim. Okay. So, and I think he has good experience in this area as well. So, I mean, we can work together with all different departments as well, not to get crazy, but I think that there's some input, you know, on where questions that they may have as well, just to make it more uniform and just have a blanket, you know, for the county.
Okay, if you and Jim work together, then you're saying you bring it, we kind of have a meeting for all officials and mm-hmm. rest of the commission to sit down and mm-hmm. look at what you've done and size it up. Mm-hmm. Sorry to me. Got another nod.
Okay.
And we'll move it.
Okay. The next one, moving on for uniform HR forms, I think based on some of the discussion that we had, even sending back to the January 27th meeting, and even prior, you know, when I've been down here for meetings, I'm hearing that there might be one application form over here, another application form over here, another HR form for this, and, you know, and it's a little disjointed. It's, again, it's not uniform. And recommendation would be, in order to eliminate that, just have one, you know, work on some forms, have them approved, and each department use that same form.
And that would be, just like you said, Bob, we establish that, and if an office decides not to use it, that's just okay.
That's, you know, it's not okay with us, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if they want to break a law, we can't really do anything about it, but we've done everything we can. The county ends up paying, for instance, if there's an FLSA violation. We tell somebody, you know, don't do this, and they do it, and we end up being liable under FLSA. The county's going to end up paying.
But I mean, there's the repercussions is that commission could affect their budget the following year to pay for those fees that we normally wouldn't have incurred if they would have followed the policy handbook.
Budget is your guys weapon, your hammer, whatever. Yeah.
But when you say break the law, I mean, we're talking about a form. Just because some office doesn't like the form and has their own form, that doesn't mean it's against the law.
Well, I wasn't necessarily talking as to forms, but there are things in the personnel policy, and there are things in forms. If their form asked for what's your age, your marital status, how many children do you have, are you pregnant, something like that.
Wait a minute. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you could have two legal forms.
Yes, you could.
That's my
yes.
only point.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want to include that in the handbook then? Is that what you want to do?
We could. I mean, it's
just part of the handbook and make it one big document?
And, yeah. Cause
and that way yes. everyone sees, we know it's consistent that way.
And they know where to find it, you know, when they're looking for a specific form, instead of having a lot of the different departments saying, well, we have a form for this and we have a form for
right.
No, the county has a form for this.
At least everyone would see it at least one time if they got a copy of the handbook
right.
sent out once we approved it as a commission.
So the handbook term is going to be a combination of the personnel policy and these other things.
Right.
We're going to have a handbook instead of a personnel policy.
Well, it's the policy is going to be in a handbook. It's going to be in the form of a handbook.
Okay.
And there'll probably be an appendix with forms to use
right.
in certain circumstances
correct.
That are in the book.
But basically one working document, living document, so to speak, that as we modify a form, it just goes part of the handbook and that stays...
Okay.
If you have some other departments that are using forms right now, you might just ask them to email it so you can maybe incorporate them mm-hmm. into where you come up with
yeah.
good idea.
For those that couldn't hear Rick, he was suggesting that other offices present their forms, which tweaks me. You're going to send out to all the offices, this is what we're doing, and just what Rick said, and anything else that you know of that you have concerns, we're open to suggestions, right?
That's it for the HR forms. Okay, moving to comp time, which is very, very sticky. I was hearing a lot of different departments using comp time differently than that. There's no uniformity, there's no continuity, what have you. And I'm not really sure why some departments are even using comp time, you know, meaning like administrative versus outside of, you know, fire or, you know, fire staff, whether paramedics, anything, you know, like that. Typically, where the police department under the Federal Labor Standards Act would typically, you know, be using comp time or adhere to it. So I'm a little confused.
We can use comp time as a governmental entity.
Sure.
However, I mean, there are some departments that it would make sense to have comp time at times. Say if you're the collector's office, and you have to work your people a lot of hours during the collection season in December, but say January or February gets slow, you can have them take their time and a half, their hour and a half for every hour they worked overtime, off during a slow period of time. You won't really miss them, and you end up not having to pay the money, and you'd have them there anyway, so you'd be paying out the money anyway. But in other ways, comp doesn't make sense, because if they get a time and a half, and they get to take that hour and a half, and they don't take it, and they take it later on after their salary's gone up appreciably, you pay at the new rate instead of the old rate. So there's some real pros and cons to comp time. Some people might like it, some people might not. It's just
there's an education with the managers, because they don't understand we still owe it. The county owes it at a higher rate, and maybe properly managed, I think that was some of your discussions, properly managing the comp time balances is we really want zero comp time.
Right.
But that's part of the inconsistencies of, elected officials over time have changed, and there's just the inconsistencies because of the nature of the government. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a recommendation of basically what you guys think we should do and how we should handle it. I mean, every department uses it differently. Mm-hmm. And our policy... And we have a policy. I mean, at one time we talked about, we just need to be consistent, but we'll need some guidance because there is so many different ways to look at comp time.
Okay. Maybe the first step in that would be similar to the HR forms, where a collection of each department that's mm-hmm. currently utilizing comp time, I'd like to hear how they're doing it, right. You know, so that way I could present a recommendation.
Sure. I think a lot of our problem is how much comp time we have on the books, and if somebody
quits, staggering. We
owe a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some department. I mean, the problem is, part of comp time is that's something the department heads or elected officials need to be managing, because that is still owed. It's owed to them, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure we shouldn't have these hundreds of hours that we've accumulated by individuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a large liability the county has right now.
Financial liability.
Yeah.
Hang on. You say hundreds of hours. I thought we had an 80-hour limit.
Well, maybe 80 per employee if that's the limit, but hundreds of hours. Maybe even thousands of hours across the county.
Rick, help me. Is it more than 80 hours you can comp? 80 hours before you can start cashing, I thought.
The policy you guys gave us was that anything over 80 hours is to be paid. We maximize the amount that they can
accumulate?
The books to 80.
Okay. I thought I saw a report that had a couple of people with hundreds or 100 plus.
Yes, it was an exception for some reason.
Okay.
And what if they had a balance of well over 80 at that time? Did we pay them down to the 80 at that time, or what happened?
I believe we did. I think we may have hit it at a certain time and told them to get down to there.
Here's a lady that might answer that.
The thing that needs to be pointed out is what Jim said. Just because you guys allow 80 hours on the books,
Some of your managers need to recognize that we don't want any on there. Mm-hmm. 80 is a maximum. We need to be managing that, and I think there should be education would help people to manage it a little bit better. So.
Don, are we paying at 80 on most all?
We were until recently. The road and bridge with the snow.
Yeah, most of them are 80, but with the snow recently, the road and bridge, you're going to try take it off. So theirs went over the 80, a lot of them. So I do have that. They said they went before you all, and it was an agreement, and they gave me a copy of that agreement. But
why did they go over the 80? They were already up at 60
yeah,
or 70.
Yeah, they were already at 80.
See, those need to be managed. I'm sorry. Those.
We just need to address a very uniform policy with comp time and how we want to help the elected official and department heads manage that number to zero. Our goal is zero.
So maybe I shouldn't be asking this, but so there is, Rick mentioned that there's a variance of what you do. I mean, you don't automatically keep it at 80.
We were told that there have been, that you guys have made that exception, so you're allowed.
Yeah. Because when it went over, I questioned it. The Road and Bridge.
Road and Bridge Superintendent Department?
Kathy, and they gave me a letter where they had sent out to all the boys. So.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. You remember that?
Can you
guys help us and get us a date when that supposedly took
can
place?
Can you get us a copy of that letter?
I'll go.
That would be great to help us.
Thank you.
I think back to what Lynette is bringing up, though, that we appear to have realized out of the meeting from before is that having them all, we definitely had discussion going on.
Oh, yeah.
From the standpoint of identifying that there are myths, you know, that they were perceiving, that they were to be doing. Then there was realities of maybe things that, not off the chart, but maybe shouldn't be doing. So the thing is that's where those open discussions and sessions like that bring out more benefit for you guys on communication. What I think is unfolded here today is the comp time, the uniform HR forms, the county employee policy manual. What Lynette will be doing is doing that corresponding to the elected officials for their input in that to then come back and try and get something uniform put together. Our job as an insurance agent to you should be trying to curb you from having potential liability claims or claims in the future, which, again, can be multi-million dollars if we don't watch what we're doing. So all we're trying to do is provide the services of Lynette in a format for trying to get these things ironed out for you guys and operating as uniformly as possible.
Okay. See, it's a good thing happening. I appreciate it.
Well, while we're talking on that, and I don't want to get off the subject too far, but this, when you talk about comp time, and you're basically talking about carryover, we visited at the commissioners meeting that we went to last week about vacation carryover, and I'm not going to go into it too much, but I know that this needs to go into the policy book. That's the reason I'm making mention of it. Other counties have told me at sitting around visiting with the commissions of other counties how they handle carryover vacation time. And some did not allow any carryover. Others, I don't know how it's wrote up in our policy book now, but I know at one time it was recommended that if they did carryover, they had to use that within that first month of the carryover. It had to be a January 1st to February 1st carryover, and it was a limited amount of hours that they could even use that vacation once they carried it over. So when we get ready to, I don't know how it's addressed in the policy book, but I do want to look at that. I believe it was Stone County that was telling me that they one of the two, I visited with Stone, Barry, Lawrence, and some of the other counties, and it was about a 50-50 split. Some of them let them carry it through the month of January. If they had any carryover, they had to use it then. What happens is you end up with a skeleton staff through December, everybody taking their vacation and their time off to try to get it all in December. And they, as they said, and we know, that we can't have operation of the county with everyone taking their vacation or time through the holiday period. And so they allowed some of that, and then they had a time, and it there was actually a penalty for the amount of hours that they could carry over vacation time, but they had to use it in through the month of January. They had to start that year to get it cleared so that their new vacation time started in.
So you need a vacation policy that basically makes sense for Taney County, that's fair, consistent,
right,
and it's uniform and applied consistently.
Right, and that's and the only reason I'm making mention that it doesn't have a whole lot to do with this other than when we talk about the personal policy.
Sure. But to Danny's point, you're working on, that's your plan, right?
Right.
To work through those things.
Right.
Good.
But currently, it is a use it or lose it, and there's no payment in lieu of vacation.
That's what it says.
Yeah, that's what it says. Right, that's what it says. Correct.
Now, and other counties have it that way.
Some do, some don't. Right. Right.
So.
If you extend it, Danny, there might be an advantage to extend it because we might have less activity in the month of January. But to me, I would just, rather than being a complicated thing, and you need to ask it, like, I would just set a date and you've got to use it by then. If you wanted to say, hey, our rollover date for vacation would be January 31st, it might be an advantage to, because we might have more opportunity to allow people to take off in January than we do in December.
Mm-hmm. That was exactly the reason they used before their so much business taking place at the end of the year, and the fact that they could not work the skeleton crew during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for getting us our letter. What's next?
All right. Well, I guess what I'm hearing, just to summarize, that it's approved to move forward on the policy manual, incorporate the HR forms into the policy manual handbook, and then also to work with elected officials and finding out what their current comp time is. You know, maybe vacation time probably wouldn't hurt, and then come together and then provide a recommendation and then move forward on that to kind of close it up.
You're great.
Okay.
I have nothing else.
Comments, questions? Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those counties that I mentioned, do you carry a lot of those?
Yeah, in fact, I wrote down and showed Lynette, I actually have a meeting today with Greene County, with their HR department, which we now secure coverages for as well. And so that's one of the things that we could go ahead and have Lynette do, is get in and work with Greene County on their employee manual. And we can use that as a template, as well as we do have Barry Lawrence Stone all insured,
right,
as well,
so
as clients.
So that's the reason I made mention of that. I thought you already have an idea of how they how their policy's set, so you could come back with a recommendation to us. And actually, basically, you could find out how it works for them. If it's a great policy for them to put in effect, well, it would be good policy for us. As we sit around with all those commissioners, our breakout time and the time we spend in classes is not the valuable time we spend up there. It's when we spend time with the commissioners sitting and talking about their problems as they relate to our problems. So.
Suggestion, as Jim and Lynette meet together and work on this, could you all post that some way? And I hesitate to say it in a way, because I know when you get too many folks at a table, it can slow things down. But on the other hand, if all elected officials knew y'all were beaten whenever it was, so that they could be listening in.
Well, I think what our intent is the same type of thing, but just in a different format. I think what we're looking to do is, first of all, go to all the elected officials and say, we've met with the commission, they'd like your input, here are the bullet points that we're looking at, and here is a template of an employee manual. You'll have to X date to respond and give us comments and input, then we will put that all together in one assimilation and come back to you and say, this is what we see from all the departments, this is what our recommendation is from this,
and then you guys make the call from there on which way you want to go with it towards finalization. That way everyone's in the loop. We can do the summation when we go to bring it back. We'll have no problem with putting that out to all the elected officials again, saying this is what has come in.
I would anticipate that a lot of the conversations between Commissioner Straubus and Lynette would be on the telephone also. I mean, I don't think she plans on coming here a lot, but when they do, there's probably no harm in telling you when she does come so that you can sit in. And
oh, yeah, we want to be as transparent as possible with this and make sure it's out to everyone. And we realize that.
Okay. Next. Done? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had personnel within this timeline, do we not?
We can, and do we want to shift into another deal outside of insurance and that? Or?
Well, the question is, we have on the agenda, I'm trying to think if we can, how much time do you have, Tim? You have a little time?
Did you guys ride together?
No.
Okay. Because we've got, I think, a pretty quick decision here on the
financial
system, and then we can go back into IDA, which is, you know, scheduled in 10, 15 minutes. If you just want to wait 15 minutes, you were planning to do that?
Yeah, I can wait around just a little bit. I've got to be in Springfield by 11:30, but I mean, if I'm on the road by
because the financial statement is pretty quick, I believe.
10:30, there's no problem.
If you just give us a second,
that's cool.
Who has the financial statement stuff? Is that Donna Neely needs to present it?
I believe so.
Can we give 2-minute recess here? And then
yeah, that'd be great.
Donna,
2-minute recess.